This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Lee Chui Lin, along with Uma Pagan and PK Pagan, and this is the evening edition. And now for our last story of the day, it's something that we've kind of been talking about throughout the day, actually, before we got kind of carried away talking about what our ideal minister would look like or would be like. It turns out that the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency, AKPK, revealed that according to a survey and a piece of research they did recently, 2 out of 10 Malaysian working adults were unable to save a single cent in the last 6 months, and nearly 3 out of 10 had to borrow money just to buy essential items.
This is a perennial problem and conversation that has been taking place for a while now. This is just building on the notion that, you know, our EPF savings aren't enough for us to retire, and whether our young people are getting too much into credit card debt, etc., etc. And now this, right? And so the question is, for me, the question is twofold. One, whether we can live and still save money, which means, are our wages okay? Are we earning enough money? Are we just spending too much on, you know, Lynn, avocado toast? And then the second question is, is it just a lifestyle issue? Whether these individuals surveyed were across the spectrum of people, were they from urban areas, and whether people from outside the urban centres have an easier time saving money?
So it was 3,540 people between the ages of 20 and 60 that was conducted from May to August. And it focused on two groups, the self-employed as well as those earning below 2,000 ringgit monthly. So there are some concerns here. Of course, there is also this, I mean, it's very easy to just fall into this trap of not seeming to have enough money to spend or to save. And then you get caught up in literally the rat race, I suppose, you know, where you're just constantly trying to earn more money. And it's I just find it to be a very difficult position to be in. So we've been asking people, we've been asking you really, have you been able to save money? You know, and if you have, what are your tips? Raj says, cut Starbucks, that's 20 ringgit per day. Nini, meanwhile, says, health is wealth. After experiencing some near-death experiences, spending money wisely is critical in this economy. And then you leave some for funeral expenses because we can't bring that to the afterlife. So just very logical advice.
I'm sorry, I just love the core logic of that statement.
Yeah, you know what? Just put some aside for the funeral. So in the meantime, let's cross over now to Rajan Devadasan, a financial planner and CEO of Wealth Creation. Rajan, thanks for joining us on the program. So for folks who are earning less than 2,000 ringgit, is it unrealistic to expect them to be able to save money?
I know it's going to be very, very tough. But the thing is, if an individual who starts off, let's say you're a fresh graduate, and you start work, if you find that you are incapable of saving when you are probably single and you're probably renting a room instead of having to pay a house mortgage, I think if they're not careful, these individuals may find themselves falling into a debt cycle that worsens even as they mature in their careers. Let's be completely frank, okay? Times are very, very tough. And I think if you look at what's happening in the global economy, particularly with the U.S. trade war against China and the ripple effects around the world, it's quite possible that things will get tougher next year before they start to pick up maybe in 2020 and 2021. So therefore, whether you are a young or middle-aged adult or an older person, I think we have to be tough on ourselves, and you control your expenses by making sure that you inculcate a mindset that's focused on delayed gratification. Delayed gratification means giving up something good, something great down the road. Now, the way to actually build wealth is to spend less than you earn, to generate a surplus, to save and invest the difference, and then to do it for a long time. And this requires a little bit of effort. You have to be interested in the subject. You need to have conversations with people who are financially more savvy than you are. My personal feeling is that, you know, if you're only earning like 1,005 or 2,000, obviously you don't have a great deal of excess to save, but that doesn't mean you don't start at all. My recommendation always is that people should start low and slow. And if the principle, money saved acts as a magnet for money earned, actually is true, and I believe it is, I've seen it proven time and time again, then as more money flows into your life, then what you want to do is not to be too hard on yourself, but it's very, very important that you save and invest. And for people who have never done either, what you should do is save first. Get into the habit of saving. Begin to understand the importance of setting money aside for a rainy day, and then also being able to build your assets beyond a certain threshold so that you can begin a savings and investment portfolio.
So Rajan, we've been talking about personal finance quite a lot recently, especially with PTPTN protests being on the news. From a personal finance standpoint, what's your take on the students describing this loan as a huge burden?
I don't think that's fair. No one said that life is going to be easy. Now, in an ideal situation, everyone would want a scholarship. But I think for Malaysia to actually move forward, the scholarships have got to be given on the basis of meritocracy. And if you're not good enough and you're not smart enough, then I think the next best thing is to actually get a loan. And if you get a loan and you start working, then I think it is your responsibility to pay down those loans. Now, of course, if you're earning so little that you can barely make ends meet, then maybe a little bit of flexibility needs to be injected into the system. But I think if a government that is financially stressed, why is the government stressed? Well, for a long time, Malaysia's actually lost ground with more developed nations because we have not committed to meritocracy. We've actually let it fall by the wayside. And because of that, our competitiveness in the global arena continues to fall. Now, it seems to me like the new government wants to try and reverse that decay. I think it'll take more than a generation to do that because it'll require revamping our entire education system. But I think if a government that is stressed with finances is able to find money to be able to fund people so they can study, the whole purpose is that they actually end up with a much better career down the road. Then I think it is absolutely incumbent upon the recipient of that loan to repay the loan. And I think what needs to be done is a very, very close analysis of the demographics of the main people who are not paying back. Is it because they have a massive entitlement mentality, or is it because they really, truly cannot get a job that pays them enough? I think this analysis is important, but I think if you borrow money, you must pay it back.
Right, and during the show, we had listeners who called in and they pointed out that in many ways, this is the first major financial loan that these students will be taking out, and that if they can't manage it, then that doesn't bode well for their financial future. Do you agree?
That's exactly right, yes. The world does not owe us a living, and the world is a very, very tough place. And if some students have basically been mollycoddled and they assume that everything's going to be handed to them on a silver platter, then I think they're going to be up for an extremely rude awakening. Now, I don't mean to sound cruel, but I remember when I was studying, I actually was fortunate enough to win a scholarship to do my A-levels in London. But the scholarship did not come from the Malaysian government. It was actually given by the A-level college. Unfortunately, it only covered tuition costs. And my parents basically had to figure out ways to send money, and a lot of it involved borrowing money to make ends meet. Then I got like straight A's, and I still couldn't get a scholarship in Malaysia. And so did the best we can. And you know, by the time I finished university and worked for a bit, I had massive credit card debts in the UK. I came back to Malaysia earning ringgit, and it took me many, many years converting my ringgit to sterling and paying off those credit card loans.
What are some ways, Rajan, in which we could up the levels of financial literacy among Malaysia's working adults?
I think the work that's being done by the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, you know, if you go to www.fpam.org.my, there are lots of resources there that effectively are focused on raising the financial literacy of Malaysians. Then, you know, there are TV programs like TV3's Ringgit Sense. There are lots of programs. BFM does a really good job with the ongoing coverage. There are so many resources. The question is, are people willing to make the time to learn about money and to understand personal finance? If you have a situation where well-paid graduates find that it boils down to a choice of, do I start paying back loans when I can really afford it, or do I buy a, a more expensive car than perhaps is justified, and then because I've got no more discretionary income, therefore I'll just let some things fall by the wayside. I don't think that's a very good way to develop character. And if you have an entire generation where people think that the world owes them a living, I think it's going to be rough.
Now, having said that, it is, of course, all relative, and there may be people earning well above 2,000 ringgit with more commitment who find themselves unable to save money as well. And, of course, the middle income trap is a very real thing. Is there any way to break that cycle or beat the system, so to speak?
There is, but it requires sacrifice. I mentioned earlier the importance of delayed gratification. It's very, very true that Malaysia as a nation seems trapped in middle income, on a national basis, middle income trap. But even within Malaysia, at a micro level, there are many Malaysians who are middle class who, if they were to actually look squarely at the distribution of wealth across the world, they'd realize that, you know, because they've got a handful, and they've got a car, they've got a roof over their heads, in contrast to many of the 7.5 billion other people living on the planet, they're very, very well off. But because of comparative expectations, a lot of people who have good reason to feel like they've got a good life actually look around and they compare what they have with people who are richer or who appear far more capable of borrowing money and therefore giving the semblance or having the semblance of great riches. And so when you start comparing like that, you end up becoming dissatisfied. So I think the way to break out of that at a micro-individual level is to make a decision that, you know, for the first 10 or 15 years of my working life, yes, I want to have a good time. Yes, I want to go out with my young friends. And of course, I mean, you're only young once. But at the same time, you've got to realize that statistically speaking, we are living longer rather than shorter. The biggest risk in retirement planning right now worldwide is longevity risk. People live far longer than their money can sustain them. So if a young working adult is willing to decide, okay, for the next 10 or 15 years, I will have an enjoyable life, but I will not go overboard. Now remember, money saved acts as a magnet for money earned. It's possible that someone who starts off at 2,000 ringgit, 12 and a half years later, is probably earning maybe 6,000 or 8,000. And if they're fast track and or they start their own company that does very well, they could be even at the 20,000 ringgit level. We don't know what the future holds. But I think if you want to be able to take care of the unknown number of decades that we have tomorrow, one of the smartest things we can do is to take personal responsibility.
Rajan, thank you for that advice. That was Rajan Devadasan, a financial planner and CEO of Wealth Creation. Uma, I mean, we talk a lot about transparency to a degree on the show.
A lot.
But we've been asking people to talk about their savings and their financial literacy, and we've not really done the same, which I don't think is fair. So how have you been doing over the last 6 months? Saved any money? Do you consider yourself financially literate?
No, I don't think I'm financially literate. Not in the sense of what Rajan was talking about, right? I try my best to save money. And what I do is, in many ways, I actually have I have separate bank accounts for different things I want to do.
Right.
So, like, I have a bank account that's kind of set up where I put money for, like, travel and fun things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you have a fun account.
Yeah, so whenever I want to buy my gadgets, I only touch that account, right? And then whenever I sell, like a phone or an iPad or something, I put the money back there and reinvest it into the fun stuff. And then there's a regular account which you pay bills with and live your life and try and save some money from. So, and then there's the travel account, which is the third account where you put in money for those big trips that you want to do at some point. I don't think that's rocket science. I think a lot of people maybe do that and spread up their finances in those ways. But that's the most I do. But it's very difficult to plan for the future in that sense because things happen and unexpected things happen. And and you end up spending on all of these little things. So you have to be truly, truly committed to this savings plan if you actually want to make it work. And I don't have that kind of discipline.
We talked about the FIRE retirement plan a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
That very extreme, you save more than half of your salary.
Don't go out and eat. Like,
yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah. I think I am just about as financially literate as you, I think. I mean, I understand money. I think for me, more importantly, I try to work on having a healthy relationship with my money.
Right.
I try not to hold on to it too much, nor do I try to kind of overspend. You know, it's more about sort of, it's there.
Do you have like a yearly target?
No, I do not.
Okay,
I do
some
not.
People do.
Yes, and I think
they have
that
spreadsheets and all of that stuff. I don't do that. I should.
That's probably helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I should.
I save my money. I should invest it. I don't. So I think it's more like we both kind of know there are things that we should be doing, but we don't.
I'm very terrible at the investment. I do a little bit of it.
I think we probably
not enough.
Probably need to listen to more Ringgit and Sense by the sounds of it. Yeah, not very good representatives of BFM at the moment.
Sorry,
anyway,
Morning Run.
Yeah, I know. Let us know. Let us know. I mean, we've told you. You can tell us now how you're doing on the savings front. Any hot money tips for us? Let us know. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got more music coming your way on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.